Welcome to another edition of Mind, Body, and Spirit. I'm your host, registered dietitian Karen Kowalics. Today's guests prove that it's never too late to reach your health and fitness goals. In 1955, an Ohio grandmother became the first female to hike the Appalachian Trail alone. While she has since passed on, her influence on hiking is still very much alive. We'll speak with a local filmmaker who is sharing her story and helping to inspire others. In 1955, a 67-year-old grandmother became the first woman ever to hike the entire Appalachian Trail solo. By the time Emma Gatewood died at the age of 85, she had hiked more than 10,000 miles. A documentary is currently being produced to share this remarkable story, and one of the film's co-creators, Betty Lou Higgins, joins us with more details. Welcome to the program, Betty.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here.
So how did you get involved with this documentary? I mean, this took place in 1955. How did you hear about it?
Well, in 2009, I was hired by the Buckeye Trail Association to do the voiceover for their 50th anniversary production. And they sent me a script. And when I was going through the script, there was like three sentences that mentioned Emma Gatewood and her hike, because she became one of the founders of the Buckeye Trail. Well, I immediately called the woman who hired me and said, well, never mind the Buckeye Trail, who in the world is Emma Gatewood, and what is her story? And she put me in touch with Emma's youngest daughter, Lucy, who lives in Florida, and I talked to Lucy. At the time, I thought I might do a short story about Emma for a program about women's history or famous Ohioans, but by the time I got through talking to Lucy, it had already started to grow, and she was interested in a movie about Emma, and I told her I'd poke around a bit to see what I could find out. I called Peter Houston of Film Effects that I had worked with on another project, asked him if he was interested in the story, and he was. And he called WGTE PBS in Toledo, and they were interested, and so here we are trying to put a PBS documentary together.
And you are the artistic director for Eden Valley Enterprises. Tell us about that group.
Well, Eden Valley specializes in creating unique programming, usually for small groups. They're commission pieces generally, and we tend to specialize in historical programming, usually Ohio or Great Lakes history.
And you wrote a story about, you present Emma's story to groups?
Right. The first, this became a multi-phase project, and the first part of it was to create a storytelling program about Emma. That part was funded by the National Storytelling Network, the Buckeye Trail Association, and the Ohio Humanities Council. So now we have a storytelling program that lasts about 40 minutes about Emma. So that will become the basis of the first person version that will be put into the documentary, where we'll have an actress portraying Emma. We have access to some of her diaries, so she'll be talking in Emma's own words. And then, of course, there will be the interviews with humanities scholars and pop culture scholars and historians to talk about Emma in general and the Appalachian Trail history and women's history, that kind of thing.
Now, this seems like it was probably a pretty big deal back in 1955. I mean, women just didn't go off and decide to hike. Can you tell us a little bit about how this happened, how she came about doing this?
It was a huge deal. The Appalachian Trail in 1955 wasn't really all that new. She was reading a National Geographic magazine from 1949 in 1954 about the Appalachian Trail, which was just kind of coming into its own. And right around that time, Earl Schaefer was the first person to solo through hike the trail. And he had mentioned, or the article mentioned, that up to that point, no woman had done it. Well, Emma was now a divorced mother of 11 and had nothing better to do than to think, well, why don't I do that, since no other woman had? And so she started planning her trip. She tried it in 1954. She started in Katahdin, Maine, and headed south. Didn't last very long, got lost, broke her glasses, got rescued by some rangers who told her to go home. And she said yes, but was already planning the second attempt, which she then made in 1955, and that was her first successful attempt.
Now, I was reading the book that you wrote about this, and there is a book available. We'll talk about it at the end of the interview. I could not, times have changed.
Oh,
First
yeah.
of all, I can't imagine all the, this was a tough hike. You said that she would like knock on people's doors and ask to sleep or come in for food, and they just took her in?
I know. We can't even imagine that, can we?
No.
Back then, there was a lot of the property was up against the trail, a lot of private property. And hikers would go to a farm, ask to be allowed to sleep in their barn or on the porch or whatever, and people let them. Of course, there weren't very many hikers back then either, so it wasn't like they had hundreds of people coming to their door. So, you know, like one time she went to a Mrs. Wilkins' farm, and Mrs. Wilkins had 17 children, and she wanted to know if she could sleep there, and they let her sleep there. She was hungry. She went to a farm. An old man answered the door. She asked for some food. He invited her in, and she saw a big pot of beans on the stove, and he took out a pan, and then he proceeded to wipe it down with a rag that was so dirty it was black. And then he wiped off a ladle with it and spooned up a big pot for her, and she ate it, thinking, well, if it hasn't killed him, it won't kill me. And she did that a lot along the way, sleeping on private property. And when she couldn't, she slept on rocks. She slept under trees. She carried a sack with her that she'd fill with leaves and use that as a mattress.
And she didn't have a lot of stuff with her, evidently.
Hardly anything that you would think anyone would carry. She was sort of a pioneer in the ultralight hiking movement. Her second trip, the first trip, she way overpacked, and she sent a bunch of things home. But that made her realize that for her second trip, she had to pare down. And for her second trip, she took really just essentials, a canteen and baby bottle for water. She took a Swiss Army knife. She took a blanket, things like that. She didn't take a compass. She didn't take a map of the area. She didn't take any of those things. She took some food. She carried cheese and nuts, but she figured she'd find fruits and things growing along the way to supplement. And then she would walk off trail to buy food or a hot meal sometimes.
Now, along the way, this became an interesting story because she became a celebrity from this when people saw her hiking.
Yeah.
And she was a celebrity in the late 50s. How did that happen and how did that affect her?
Well, it's a little unclear. Both times, she did not tell anyone in her family that she was going to do this. She just took off on her own. Well, the second trip, as she was getting near her end, the word started to leak out that there was an old lady hiking the trail alone.
And this was before the internet.
But when you get a leak, you get a leak, you
yeah.
know? And reporters started to come in to find her. And she realized that the story was going to be published in a newspaper. So she started sending postcards to her children so that they wouldn't read where she was and what she was doing in the newspaper. Her oldest daughter, Esther, got her postcard one day before the story hit the paper.
That is amazing.
And, yeah, so that's how she became famous. And then she eventually was interviewed by Sports Illustrated. After she hiked the Oregon Trail in 1959, she went on Groucho Marx. She went on Art Linkletter's show. A lot of newspapers and magazines were calling her. And, yeah.
So just a spur-of-the-moment idea about hiking, she turned into a celebrity and really influenced the hiking trails we have today here in Ohio.
Yeah. The other thing was the Appalachian Trail back then was not in real good condition, in spite of what the writers would like you to believe. And she was very vocal when she was being interviewed about what bad condition the trail was in. So she really spurred the upkeep of the trail. And that really helped make the trail what it is today. And then later, she met some people who were interested in forming the Buckeye Trail Association. So she joined them and helped put that whole trail system together.
And she kept hiking until the age of 85, so she probably, she inspired a lot of people back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping this documentary that you're doing will inspire more people today. How can people reach you if they want more information, if they would like information on the documentary, or they'd like to get a copy of your book? Because it was a really great book.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. They can find us at www.EdenValleyEnterprises.org. If you Google Grandma Gatewood, we come up fairly high in the searches, or Google Eden Valley Enterprises, Eden as in garden of, not as in eating.
Yes.
And our We have a whole section of our website is devoted to the project. There's links there to purchase the book and to see the trailer of our documentary. And we're raising money to create the documentary so you can make donations. Hopefully, we'll be able to get enough money to actually do the documentary.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it. Thank you so much, Betty Lou.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
We'll be right back with more Mind, Body, and Spirit.